"Don't move," he growled at her. That was the closest she had seen him to his dark side in a month. She didn't like it when he would get like that, and she especially didn't like it when she was half naked in his bed. "How come you keep stopping me from kissing you, or anything else for that matter? Am I that bad?" He shook his head, and seemed almost appalled she would think that. "No, baby. I want you too badly right now. I've wanted you for fucking months. I'm trying to go slow with you, but you kiss too fucking good. I will hurt you if you don't stay still, and then I won't forgive myself if I make this more painful for you than it's already going to be." As he spoke, Lake began to see him differently. She could see and feel his hands beginning to shake. He wasn't teetering on the edge of his dark side. The Vincent in front of her was the purest version of him. He was physically torturing himself to keep from causing her any pain or discomfort. She laced her fingers in his. "You couldn't hurt me." She truly believed that, too. He had only hurt her once, and it had been that day he had dropped her off at her mother's house. But she could finally see it had hurt him just as much. In her heart, she knew he wouldn't ever want to do that again, which was why he went above and beyond to keep her happy. "Yes, I can, Lake. Just promise me you will stay still." His breathing became heavy when he leaned down to give her a kiss. "I promise I will try." She smiled before she nipped at his bottom lip. Vincent's hands ran over her stockings and onto the top of her bare thighs. "I've had to watch you walk around in these things and your heels, so I deserve to get to fuck you in them." He inched up and grabbed the sides of her silk black panties. She slightly lifted her hips when he began pulling them down. Her cheeks heated from being nervous as he slipped them down over her stockings and high heels. Looking down at her perfectly smooth pussy, his eyes became darker. "Fuck." Lake's eyes widened when he hurriedly dropped the towel down from his hips, springing free his huge and very hard dick. "Oh my fucking god." All thoughts were lost when he kissed her senseless, moving her up the bed. Her chest grew heavy as he kissed her sensitive neck, then swiftly took an even more sensitive pink nipple into his mouth, making her gasp. Then his hand went to cup her pussy, and his middle finger pressed at her folds. "How is every fucking part of you so fucking silky?" His voice sounded tortured, matching his appearance. It was hard for her to concentrate on what he had said as his finger plunged inside of her. She had to bite her bottom lip to keep from screaming out. "Baby, you are so tight and wet for me." He moved to her neglected nipple and sucked it until it turned into a tight little nub as his finger slid in her deeper. Lake reached out, twisting her fingers into his hair, a moan passing her lips when his thumb swiped over her clit. After a few more passes, she felt another finger enter her, and he started a motion inside of her, fucking her pussy with his fingers. She pulled his hair when he removed his thumb from over her clit, right when she was sure she was on the verge of coming.
"He's going to kill me. Vincent, please," she moaned,
hoping he would do something to give her release. She felt like crying when he instead removed his fingers from her. Vincent quickly moved his body over hers until the head of his dick was pressed at her folds. Lake put her hand on his chest, stopping him.
"What about a condom?"
"You're on the pill, and I wouldn't think about fucking you if I wasn't sure I'm clean. I'm the only one who will ever fuck your perfect pussy, and I'm not fucking you with a condom. Not now, and not ever."
He leaned down and bit the chubby part of her lip while the tip of his cock slid into her pussy. Instinctively, she wrapped her legs around his waist, wanting more of him inside of her, scraping her nails at his back. He slid inside, breaking through her barrier in one swift movement.
"Damn it, baby," he groaned.
Quickly, he returned back to her clit, rolling the bud between his thumb and index finger. The pain was harsh and quick, making her eyes slam shut. Then it began to ease, and the hunger inside of her masked the pain more and more with every roll of his fingers. I'm sorry. He brushed a kiss against her lips. Opening her eyes, she saw the disappointment in himself.
It's okay,
she told him before she deepened the kiss, slipping her tongue into his mouth. His hips finally started to move above her, starting in a slow rhythm. With each stroke, the tempo started to change, and he began taking his dick farther out of her before he plunged it deeper inside her pussy. Lake dug her heels into his ass just as much as her nails were carving into his back. She was letting him pick up the pace, but it somehow was all too slow for her while being way too fast, in the sense that she was ready to come at any second. Feeling his enlarged dick inside of her and hearing his pained breathing above her, she knew he was about to burst, too.
"I need to come,"
she loudly moaned when his cock left her pussy, only to plunge back in. That time his rhythm changed, fucking her with much quicker and harder strokes.
"Come for me, baby."
His breath was ragged before he sucked the flesh of her neck into his mouth. Her hand jumped to cover her mouth to stifle the loud scream about to pass through her lips. She came on his cock as he did the same inside of her, she suspected from the jolts deep in her pussy. Lying limp and breathless, she felt him lick at the sting on her neck. She had barely felt him bite her as she had climaxed, but feeling the after effects, she assumed he had gotten her pretty good. It was okay, though. She had gotten his back pretty good in return, knowing he was going to have scratch marks for weeks. Lake could barely open her eyes when he rolled away to slide off her heels, then bring her body close to his. Every night he had held her, her back to his chest, but it was the first time she had ever been held by him naked, and boy, did it feel good. His hand ran over the top of her thigh.
"You didn't tell me how come you're so fucking smooth."
She smiled softly.
"Sadie makes all the girls wax regularly."
"Damn, I hate that bitch."
"I think she feels the same about you."
Lake laughed sleepily. He pulled her into his chest deeper, changing his tone.
"Go to sleep, baby."
Lake had never felt like she belonged more than she did in that moment with Vincent as he placed a light kiss on her shoulder. She had never felt like that with her mom, with her dad, or even with Adeline.
Adeline? Oh, God.
How in the fuck was she supposed to explain this to her best friend when she couldn't even tell her she had kissed him, let alone that she fucked Adeline's brother and was pretty certain they both wanted it to be a regular thing?
She had to go to sleep, exhausted with a guilty conscience on her mind.
Lake felt even guiltier for the fact that she had enjoyed it so much, and that fucking Vincent had finally made her happy for once.
"Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned."
Chapter 42. May He Open the Gates for You. Lake scooted back on the bed, trying to find Vincent's body behind her. She was still pretty much in dream state, but her internal clock was slowly telling her it was time to wake up. She rolled over, looking at the other side of the bed to find no Vincent.
"Why does he always leave me?"
Somehow her brain had told her that giving Vincent her virginity would make it to where he would be there in the morning when she woke up. Getting out of bed, she took the blanket and wrapped it around her naked body. She then went to the end of the balcony, looking down at the first floor, only for him to not be there either. She went to his open closet to find he had picked up her black dress and hung it back up in its spot. Something about that made her smile. He had also retrieved her normal clothes from the previous night and the bag she had left in the locker, and they were with her corset and stash of tips she had made, sitting beside them. He had set everything perfectly on a leather stool in the middle of his huge closet. Lake headed toward the bathroom with quiet excitement at finally getting to see what was behind the door.
Holy fuck.
She was not disappointed. She never would have thought a black bathroom was possible, but man, was she wrong. She was going to try everything out and take her precious time showering in the massive glass shower she later found out rained down on the occupant. Then she was going to take the best bath of her life in the big jacuzzi tub. Lake was practically salivating as she threw off her cover and stockings from the night before. How in the world has he been using my tiny, pathetic old bathroom? Looking at the black tub, she believed that was where the saying, "Once you go black, you never go back," had originated from. The poor child inside of her was already crying about how the clock would eventually strike midnight, and then the carriage would turn back into a pumpkin. Because as much as she felt at home here, ultimately it wasn't her home, and she wasn't planning on moving in with Vincent anytime soon. It's not like he would want me to anyways. Relaxing didn't go as planned. So many thoughts swirled around in her mind about losing her virginity. Vincent, Adeline, her mom, her dad, Dante. The list was ginormous. She quickly got dressed in the clothes she had worn to work the day before and even made something to eat in his glamorous kitchen. Sitting there with nothing to do, she wondered where Vincent had gone to for so long. It made her feel like a puppy watching for its owner as she waited either for him to return or for it to be time for her to head down to work. It was about an hour and a half until she usually started for work, but she couldn't sit there any longer, not wanting to feel desperate when he came back. She grabbed her stuff and headed downstairs to the casino, even though she was sure Vincent was going to be really pissed about it. Lake was setting her bag down on her dressing table when she noticed Kim coming up behind her from the reflection in the mirror. Kim eyed Lake's reflection, seeing her semi-damp hair and clothes from the previous night.
"I see he finally took your fucking V-card. Maybe now that he's fucked you out of his system, he'll let me take another spin. 'Cause let's be honest, Vincent is like every other man. They want a challenge every now and then. But in the end, they want someone with experience sucking their dick." Her smile twisted up into a smirk. "I bet you didn't even suck his dick, did you?"
She watched Kim snicker off, not needing to wait for Lake's answer to know. Lake quickly turned away from her reflection, not wanting to look at herself, and started to feel sick. She knew she shouldn't listen to one word that came out of Kim's mouth, but something in her found that everything Kim had been saying was the harshest fucking truth.
"Honey, what are you doing here?" Sadie asked, coming up to her.
Lake tried her best to shake off what Kim had just said.
"I decided to come in a little bit early to apologize. I'm so, so sorry about
Sadie held up her hand.
"It's okay. Fucking Jeepers Creepers deserved it. But you don't work down here anymore. Didn't Playboy tell you already?"
"Tell me what?"
Lake looked at her in confusion.
"Of course he didn't. He made me promise not to tell you that last night was your last night working here. Your debt is paid, honey."
Lake's mouth fell open.
"Huh? How?"
Sadie shrugged.
"I don't know. He didn't tell me that part. You're supposed to be happy, jump up and down or scream. Some shit like that anyway."
Swinging around, she quickly grabbed her bag then headed for the door, her mind racing. She hit the elevator button for it to open.
Why didn't he want me to know?
Clearly there was a reason he told Sadie to keep it a secret and why he hadn't told her himself. Only one person was going to give her the truth, the whole truth. Getting on the elevator, she hit the code to take her to the top. Lake was going to the top of the fucking mafia food chain. There was another surprise visit in store for Dante Caruso. Vincent spent his day cleaning up his almost fuck-up from the previous night. In all honesty, no one liked that fucker David, not even Dante, who was racking up a shit ton of money off him. After he had sent David into practically a coma when he had a flight back home to Canada the next day, some of the girls he had paid to take back to his hotel room had finally spoken up about how he had been quite abusive and given them a huge sum to keep quiet about it. Vincent's day had been made. He had gotten to piss on David's motherfucking grave. Not only that, but he finally had woken up beside Lake's warm, naked body that morning, and his balls were a lesser shade of blue. He jumped off the elevator, contemplating how to tell her she no longer worked downstairs. He had planned to tell her the night before, But the fight with David and sexual frustration between them had put that on a back burner. He had been saving it for the morning, but a phone call from Dante telling him to get the fuck in his office had kept him from sharing. Pulling out his card, he remembered the way she had looked at the bottom of his bed, naked, in only her lace, thigh-high stockings and high heels. It can wait 20 more minutes. He slid the card in, unlocking the door, his need of wanting her outweighing telling her about how he had paid off her debt. Something told him it was going to probably cause an argument between them. He was positive Lake would tell him she couldn't let him do something that crazy. Not that it mattered, because what was done. And no fucking way is she wearing my outfits in front of other men anymore. Vincent was calling her sexy lingerie outfits his because the only times she was going to be wearing them from then on were in his apartment. The fucking bad part about it was he was going to have to play nice to Sadie because he planned to give her his card to fill his closet full of those outfits. He also planned for those working girl only waxes to be available to Lake. Whoever the hell was waxing Lake was the fucking wax master with the magic touch. Opening the door, he expected to see Lake downstairs. Maybe she's still in bed. I bet she finally found the bathroom. Several dirty thoughts swirled in his mind when he found she wasn't on the bed, and he headed for the bathroom. Today is a great fucking day. Vincent's sexual fantasies popped like a balloon when she wasn't in there taking a bath like he had imagined. He felt like all his hopes and dreams had died in an instant. He knew she could only be at one place in the hotel, and he certainly wasn't fucking happy about it. Heading back to the elevator and putting in the code to the basement, he hoped Sadie had kept her big fucking mouth closed. He freaked out on the close button, trying to get it to hurry up. Fuck, hurry! He already knew he was going to have to sew Sadie's mouth shut. Once in the basement club, Vincent quickly moved through the bodies and into the dressing rooms, going straight to Lake's dressing table and finding it empty, just like his apartment. A hand ran up his back and squeezed his shoulder. "She's not here anymore, and I know she didn't take care of your deck, but I can help you out with that." He looked over to see Kim in nothing but pink panties. His hand reached out to grab her throat, giving it a firm squeeze. "What did you fucking say to her?" His voice was lethal. Kim grabbed at his wrist, trying to get more room to breathe and talk.
"Nothing. I just saw her talking to Sadie, and then she stormed out."
"You touch me again, slut, and you won't get paid to fuck the highest-paying, dirtiest men in a clean room with a guard. You won't even be one of the girls who fuck them in the hotel rooms. Your ass will be on the street corner, fucking the cheapest men, going to their nasty motel rooms and wondering if you're going to be alive to walk back out that door. Do you understand me?"
He squeezed her throat a little tighter. Kim viciously nodded the best she could as Sadie came up beside them. Vincent finally let go.
"And stay the fuck away from Lake."
Kim grabbed her throat, gasping for air as she looked at Sadie for her to do something. Sadie crossed her arms and tapped her pump on the floor.
"I don't know what makes you think I give a shit, bitch. You're lucky I didn't get to you first. I don't have to know what you did to know you deserved more than that. Now get the fuck out of my face."
Vincent looked at Sadie. "Why does 98% of me fucking hate her guts, but the other 2% likes her at the same time?"
Because she was a fucking psychotic bitch, and he could relate.
"You told her, didn't you?" he asked her.
"Yes, I fucking did when you neglected to tell her that her debt was paid."
1%. She rolled her eyes.
"Don't worry. I didn't tell her you paid it off, playboy."
His eyebrow rose. "I never told you I did."
"Do I look like a stupid bitch to you?"
She began tapping her heel again. He wasn't going to answer that.
"Where did she go?"
"I don't know. She just fucking ran out of here when I told her you made me promise not to tell. I'm not having Lake mad at me because you didn't have the balls."
Vincent started running for the door.
"Really? You bitches need to learn some manners,"
Sadie yelled at him.
Running through the crowd, he quickly came up to the elevator and hit the up button. Fuck, 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 hurry up! His gut knew exactly where she had gone, because Lake was fucking crazy enough to do it. Finally, the elevator door opened, and he punched in the code to take him to the top. Face Dante Caruso once, God help you. Face Dante Caruso twice, may he open the gates for you. Chapter 43. Run. Lake licked her very dry lips as her knuckles landed on the black door.
Come in,
a dark voice sounded on the other side of the door. Walking into the dark room, she noticed Mr. Vitale pouring two glasses of whiskey while Dante sat in his throne. Dante leaned back in his chair.
Well, Miss Turner, I have to say I never expected to see you again.
She watched Mr. Vitale set a drink down in front of Dante, giving her a warning look behind his back. She quickly looked back at Dante.
I'm sorry. I was just curious about something which has to do with our agreement. I'm afraid Vincent isn't keeping me in the loop, so I was hoping I could talk with you about it, Mr. Caruso.
He took a sip of his whiskey.
Sit down, then.
Lake took a deep breath, then sat in the chair beside Vincent's dad.
Why does he always have to be here at the worst times?
Trying to calm her nerves, she spoke in a somewhat even tone.
I went to work today for Sadie to tell me I no longer work there. She told me my debt was paid, but I don't understand how that's possible.
He didn't tell you?
Dante took another sip of his drink, seeming amused.
Vincent came in here a month ago and paid your whole debt off.
He did what?
She shook her head, not believing it.
If that's true, then why have I been working down there for a month? Vincent has been giving you money for all the tips I've made every week so I could pay you off faster, hasn't he?
No, I can't say I've received any money. I allowed him to pay off your debt as long as you continued to work for me for one more month. Unfortunately for you, you had made a big impression on David, and he was my biggest customer. I've been giving your paychecks to Vincent. I assume you haven't received them as well?
She shivered when he emphasized the word was, knowing he meant it as a dead. Also knowing she had been forced to work down there because of David's infatuation with her, made her skin crawl even more. She shook her head.
No, he hasn't given me any paychecks.
She couldn't believe Vincent had been keeping this a secret from her to the extent that he had been retaining all her money. Dante looked her up and down.
For a girl who learned she is a free woman, you certainly came to the wrong place.
Lake swallowed, unmoving.
Has she been paid for her last week?
Vinny questioned. Dante looked over at him.
No, I haven't given it to Vincent yet.
Keep it.
Mr. Vitale set his drink down and reached into his jacket pocket, pulling out money, then quickly counting out some and holding it out for her to take.
This should cover it. I advise you to take it and run off to college, anywhere that isn't here.
She had to use the chair to support herself enough to stand. Sliding the money out of his hand, she went for the door while she still had the chance.
Miss Turner, I wouldn't walk back through my door again if I were you,
Dante's cold voice warned her. She gave a quick nod before she left the room, closing the door behind her. Slamming her eyes shut, she tried to keep her breathing under control. Everything was hitting her like a ton of bricks. All the things Vincent had done and not told her about, along with the fact that they had flat out told her to run. Lake wasn't stupid. She knew when to run the hell away.
Especially from a whole family of psychopaths.
Waiting for the elevator door to open, her mind was going a million miles an hour, wondering where the hell to run. One thing was for sure, she was heading straight home on a bus and packing up a bag of her shit. Lake Turner was finally going to do what she had always dreamed of, but she had never expected the mixed feelings of it all. She had been preparing herself to leave her dad and Adeline behind for months,
but leaving Vincent stung the worst. She didn't understand why that was, since it was clear to her more than ever that he was a lying man-whore asshole who was totally fucking deranged. A part of her wanted Vincent to appear when the elevator door came open, to talk her out of it, and to somehow make everything better, while her judgment of him was still cloudy. The elevator door opened with a ding.
Goodbye, Kansas City.
Vincent waited impatiently for the elevator to come to a stop, hoping Lake was going to be on the other side of the door when it opened. However, when it finally did, Lake wasn't there. Quickly he moved down the hallway, through the security room, and hastily knocked on Dante's door, then swung it open before the word, "Come," came out. Dante raised his eyebrow.
"You knew she would come here, didn't you?"
Vincent smoothed his hand down his hair, praying he had made it in time.
"Where is she?"
Dante took his time lighting a cigar before he spoke.
"Luckily for you, your father was here and gave her money to scram."
Vincent turned to try to catch her.
"You're about an hour late. I assume she's already somewhere that's not worth the fucking time to find her."
He took a long hit, thinking about what he wanted to say next.
"Lake is like a cat. She was born with 9 lives. Sooner or later, however, she'll be faced with her 9th and final one. Something tells me she's more than halfway there, considering she just wasted another one with me."
"Fuck, Lake." Vincent nodded in understanding before going back out the door to leave and attempt to catch her before she could run too far away.
"If you find her, I better not see her fucking face. Beat some fucking sense into that girl, or I will."
Vincent ground his teeth.
"Yes, boss."
Closing the door behind him, he headed straight for the elevator, pulling out his phone in a desperate attempt to call her. It went straight to voicemail, though.
"Motherfucker!"
he screamed when the elevator closed behind him. The thought of losing Lake was already too strong, but Vincent had made up his mind. He would go to the ends of the earth for her. Chapter 44. We Are All Cursed. Vincent knocked on the front door. It felt strange coming there for the first time without Lake. The door opened, only for it to be slammed on his face. Luckily, his hand was out, ready to push at the door before it could close completely.
"Talk to me for 5 fucking minutes, please."
The last word was harsh yet vulnerable at the same time. Finally, the pressure on the other side of the door released, and he was able to walk in. Looking around, his heart grew heavy with thinking about all the time he and Lake had spent together in that house. Vincent walked into the kitchen, watching a man pour orange juice into a glass in the middle of the night. He had watched Lake do that several times during the month they had spent together.
"I've already told you once that she didn't tell me where she was going, and if I did know, what in the fuck makes you think I would tell you?"
He took his orange juice and sat down at the creaky little table. Walking over, Vincent sat down in front of him.
"She's your fucking daughter, so you know exactly where she would go."
Paul stared at him.
"Like I said, if I did know, I wouldn't tell you. You think I want Lake to be with a man like you? Hell, I don't want her to be with a fucking man like me. She deserves a lot more than a family, man."
Vincent slammed his hand down on the table.
"You think I don't fucking know that? Most of me doesn't want to be able to find her, but the crazy in me can't stop. I have to find her. There is nothing good in me anymore without her." "We are all cursed, Vincent. A family man can never truly be happy because of the life we chose. We always want something more or better. We want it so fucking badly till it kills us along with the ones we love. That's why almost all of us are alone. When we love, we either bury them or destroy who we once were when they finally leave us."
Paul took a drink from his glass.
"When Lake's mom left me for money, I had to find something to keep me distracted. I had a daughter, so I didn't want to drink or get into drugs because Lake was the only thing I had left in this world. If I had lost her, I was so fucked up, I think I would have killed myself. So I started gambling. I don't know, maybe at first I chose it in hopes to get rich so her mom would come back to me. And then it twisted into getting rich for Lake. But I let gambling consume me until years later, it finally hurt Lake. That's what always fucking happens to us. I'm just lucky enough that Lake got out alive. So don't expect me to tell you where she is, because I'm not going to bury my daughter before me. I suggest you find a fucking hobby. Like you, Lake is the only thing I have in this world, and I will not lose her just because right now I am fucked up. Vincent stood abruptly, the chair behind him almost falling to the ground. He understood Paul for having the right to not tell him where his daughter was, and he respected him for that. Vincent merely showed his respect by telling him Lake was going to be his.
Dante would like to see her dead, or worse, Vincent. If you bring her back here after only a week, you are fucking risking her life.
Paul was pleading and warning him all at the same time. Heading for the door and walking away from Paul, Vincent said,
I told you, I'm fucked up.
Vincent didn't think he should tell her father the next part.
And I'm going to do what you failed to do. Teach her a fucking lesson about family men.
Vincent answered his phone the next morning. A voice came over the line.
Get over here.
Then the call was quickly disconnected. Quickly getting dressed, he felt almost numb until he knocked on the office door. It had only been 7 days since he had lost Lake, but it might as well have been 7 months later. He had lost Lake once when he had walked away from her months before, but something in him knew she was the one for him. That was why he had fought with himself so hard until he had actually brainwashed himself to believe it. That month they had spent together had solidified his feelings. Then the moment he had actually gotten her, she had been taken away from him. To lose something he had fought so hard for was a pain so cruel he didn't wish it on his worst enemy. Not waiting for an answer, he walked right through the door and quickly shut it behind him.
Your dad isn't here, is he?
He asked, turning around.
No,
a deep, harsh voice sounded. Fully turning around, he saw Luca sitting behind his desk, inhaling a cigarette.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Luca looked rough, like he had been awake for 48 hours. His ashtray was overflowing, making Vincent wonder how long he had been sitting there. Then again, with how hard he was inhaling the sticks, Vincent thought Luca might not have been there as long as he had initially believed. To top it off, he didn't seem to be in a good mood. Luca pointed his cigarette at him.
Really, fucker? I could say the same to you. You look like shit. Now sit down.
Vincent took that as, don't ask me what's wrong again, motherfucker, 'cause I sure as fuck ain't telling you. He took his seat in front of Luca and beside Sal, who was on his laptop.
Sal found your girl,
Luca said, dropping his ashes onto the tower in the tray.
You did? Where is she?
Vincent practically stood from his chair.
No, I think I fucking found her,
Sal corrected him.
I'm still working on it.
Vincent smoothed his hair down, trying to calm his nerves.
Okay, so he almost found her, but why should I let Sal tell you where she is? She was a pain in my fucking ass for the 5 minutes I was around her, and an even bigger pain in the ass to Dante. That girl doesn't belong here.
He had known Luca was going to say that.
She belongs with me.
I already know. This time, I'm going to really teach her how the family works, what she can and cannot do. I promise you, she will not bother you again.
Luca sucked his cigarette hand.
What I would do is lock her fucking ass up. Keep her in your house or bedroom and don't let her ass back out.
Vincent stared at Luca like he was deranged.
That's what I would do if I were you, of course.
Luca managed to put out the butt without too many ashes falling onto the desk.
That didn't seem like he was talking about me or Lake.
Almost got it,
Sal interrupted his thoughts. Luca pulled out another cigarette and flicked his lighter open, taking his time to light the end.
I give you back your girl,
and you'll owe me. Vincent thought about his words, understanding what he meant. The last person in the world anyone wanted to owe was Luca Caruso, because one day he would call in his favor, and that person had just better hope they had lived a full and happy life before that happened. It didn't matter. He was dead without Lake anyway. He nodded in agreement. Luca took a hit. Tell him. Sal stared at his laptop as he talked.
I've been trying to find the address for Paul's parents. For some reason, they dropped off the face of the earth. Coincidentally, around the same time Paul became a soldier. I'm not promising she will be there, but it's the only place you haven't looked. Her name isn't popping up in the system anywhere, so I'm thinking she has to be with family.
Vincent had spent the week driving and looking everywhere for her. She had little family that he knew of, and he had started there. Going to her mother's first, he'd practically kicked the door in on those assholes, asking if they knew where she was. He didn't expect her to be there, nor did he expect them to give a shit, but he did have a fun fucking time scaring the shit out of them. Then he had gone to the college she had wanted to attend. Nothing. This was the first time he had heard of her having any grandparents.
Okay, so where is it?
He was anxious and ready to get her back. Sal clicked a few more buttons before he started laughing.
I suggest you go home and get fucking changed out of those clothes.
Vincent and Luca stared at him, waiting for him to tell them where she was. Sal calmed his laughter so he could finally spit it out.
The address is in Tree Point, Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Vincent sat, stunned. He tried to imagine how in the hell Lake had made herself go there. Never mind. Fucking desperation, that's how.
Well, have fucking fun there.
Luca leaned back in his chair, smiling and clearly enjoying that he wasn't the one who had to go. Sal jotted down the address for him when he finally stopped laughing. He looked down at the piece of paper.
What the fuck do they wear there?
That made Sal laugh all over again.
Camo. Lots and lots of camo.
I'd talk as little as possible and keep your thick Italian accent to yourself. They'll probably fucking shoot you there.
Luca actually laughed a little when he told him the last part. Vincent stood, storming out.
Fuck off.
Chapter 45. Leather and Tats. Lake walked into the diner behind her grandparents' house. She had left Kansas City the week before, coming to the only place she had family left, Tree Point, Kentucky. If she was honest, the thought of living in Kentucky had made her skin crawl at first. She hadn't been sure what it was going to be like, but she had known without a doubt that she wasn't going to be in Kansas City anymore. Lake was born a city girl, therefore stepping into a very rural small town was a bit of an adjustment.
I think that's an understatement.
Lake had called her father when she got home, but he had pushed it straight to voicemail. She cried hard at having to tell her father she was leaving through a voicemail. That was the hardest thing she had ever done. She didn't tell him where she was going, afraid Dante might use it against him. The less he knew, the better. Her father had kept an old piece of paper with a number hidden in a box with old stuff. She remembered him revealing to her the contents of the box once when she was a little girl. He had showed her the pictures of him when he was younger, where he had lived before his family had moved out to Kansas City, and he had even kept pictures of her grandparents. She wouldn't have known whose number it was if he hadn't written, "Crazy fucking mother," above it. Thankfully, her grandmother had answered, and then Lake had packed a bag and hopped on a bus straight there. Granted, she did have to beg them to come out. She could say they had been slightly paranoid about the mafia and life in general. Lake had simply told them she was trying to find a better life away from the mob, and she had assured them no one was looking for her.
Basically, I just lied my ass off.
She had sat in the back of the bus, silent tears rolling down her face with Kansas City in the distance. It wasn't leaving the city she was born and raised in behind that had destroyed her. It was leaving Vincent. As bad as she wanted to hate him, she couldn't. She cared about him, whether she wanted to or not. What's more, she had shared with him something very special that she could only experience once. It didn't matter how much time would pass. No one could never forget about their first. It was an impossible thing to do. Thankfully, the waitress came and took their order, relieving her of her thoughts of Vincent.
"No, no, no, no,"
her grandmother cried, looking at the door. Lake turned her head to see a huge gang of bikers walk into the diner. From what she had gathered from her grandmother's ranting, they called themselves the Last Riders and owned some kind of survivalist company. Only in fucking Kentucky could you hear something as ridiculous as that. When they pushed a bunch of tables and chairs together, her grandmother stood up.
"We're getting the hell out of here."
Lake's eyes grew big with how loud she had said it. Getting up, she watched her grandparents scurry out of the place so fast, only the ding of the bell had her realizing they had already left. Walking toward the door, she couldn't help looking at the table full of bikers and their women, who had clearly heard and watched the whole thing. There was a sweet blonde with twins at the end of the table who had particularly looked upset. She found her feet had stopped moving, feeling terrible for her grandmother's actions.
I'm sorry. My grandmother is, well...
Her eyes drifted slightly away from the blonde and onto some of the rough, tough-looking men in leather before she snapped them back to the pretty blonde.
Old.
I completely understand.
She smiled softly, shooting the men around the table annoyed glances at their laughter.
I'm Beth.
Hi, I'm Lake.
She smiled back. The woman's was contagious.
I haven't seen you around before. Are you new to town?
I'm just visiting my grandparents for the summer.
She watched the waitress come up and ask if they were ready to take their orders.
Well, I will get out of your way so you can eat.
You're welcome to stay and join us,
Beth said.
If you had already ordered, she can bring it out with ours.
Lake bit her lip, contemplating if she should stay. She did feel bad that the waitress had probably already put their order in, and at least her food wouldn't go to waste. Even though the bikers looked scary, they couldn't possibly be too bad if they had children at the table.
That would be nice. Thank you, God. I can get some peace away from my grandparents.
A man beside Beth rose from the table, hastily pulling a chair away from another while glaring at the occupants when they would have said something. He placed the chair next to him, between him and Beth.
You can sit here, next to me.
Down, boy.
Beth rolled her eyes.
That's Ryder. He always likes to get to know anyone new who comes to town.
Ryder, I have made a huge mistake.
Going to the other side of the table, she squeezed between them, although Ryder wasn't making it easy for her. Lake would have told them something had come up, but she didn't want to hurt Beth's feelings again. Beth waited until she settled in before she introduced her. She started with the twin closest to her and went around the table.
These are my little boys, Chance and Noah. Razor, my husband. Lily, my sister. Her husband, Shade. John, their son. Cash, Rachel, Train. And you already met Ryder.
Lake smiled at each one she was introduced to. She thought Ryder was bad, but hearing Razor followed by my husband had her wondering if she had made a wrong turn somewhere. Each man was covered in leather and tats. The one called Shade was definitely the one nobody fucked with in their group, since it looked like he had the most tattoos, which seemed like they went down from his neck to his feet. Cash, however, drew her attention the most. Something about him had her staring at him for a few seconds.
It's nice to meet you all.
She hoped she didn't sound a little frightened when it came out.
It's nice to meet you too.
Ryder cut off Beth when she opened her mouth to reply.
Where are you from? From your accent, it doesn't sound like it's Kentucky.
Lake licked her lips, wondering what she should tell them. She didn't think she should tell them the truth, considering Dante could come after her.
Arizona.
She went with the first thing that popped in her head. It was where her dad had grown up.
Really? Do you know any cowboys?
Lily asked.
I've always wanted to meet a real cowboy.
The one covered in tattoos threw her a dark look.
I thought you said I'm your cowboy.
Lily brushed his cheek with a brief kiss.
You are. I was just going to ask her if it's true if they drink a lot or if they like women with short hair.
I have no freaking idea.
She looked at Lily's long, beautiful black hair.
They like lots of orange juice, and they definitely prefer long hair. The longer the better. Lake was quite shocked to find that the two were married, and with a cute little baby boy at that. Lily was arguably the most beautiful and timid girl she had ever seen, while Shade, well, he could probably take out half of the Caruso Mafia by himself. Lily turned to her husband, giving him a suspicious look.
"We could always go to the Grand Canyon on vacation," she suggested.
"Not going to happen,"
Shade said, slipping an arm over her shoulders before whispering something in her ear, which had her face flaming.
"If you're going to be in town for a while, stop by our clubhouse for a drink sometime,"
Ryder suggested.
"She's not old enough to drink,"
Beth snapped.
"I didn't mean liquor,"
Ryder said to Beth before turning back to Lake, giving her a wink.
"Unless she wants one. One beer isn't going to make her drunk, is it?"
"Hell to the no."
She took a long drink of water before she could answer, contemplating on the right thing to say, not wanting to piss off a biker.
"I'll think about it."
The food came just in time, breaking the awkward conversation. Lake's eyes drifted to Cash again, unable to help glancing at him from time to time. He was tall, blonde, dangerous, and outrageously handsome, with just the right amount of tattoos. When he caught her eyes and smiled at her, it finally dawned on her why she was attracted to him. Cash was a perfect blonde god, exactly like Vincent. Finally realizing the root of her attraction, it still didn't mean she didn't like staring at him, despite him not being Vincent. He was clearly very happy and very much in love with the pretty redhead beside him. Still, it was hard not to look at him from time to time, and she hadn't seen Vincent's perfection in a week.
"Blondes are clearly my kryptonite."
Chapter 46. Falling into a Book.
"We were worried sick about you, Lake. All day you disappeared, and you were hanging out with them Satan-loving, devil-worshipping bikers. You said you came here to get away from the Mafia, but those men are just as dangerous, if not more. At least Italians pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."
Her grandmother started praying to Jesus for her forgiveness, and to help rid herself from any demons she might have picked up from the bikers. Lake shook her head, wondering why she had asked Ryder to take her home instead of to his clubhouse.
"Probably because he wanted to fuck me."
Honestly, he and Train had eyed her together as if they wanted...
"No, that's just crazy."
"They are really nice people, Grandma, and a lot of them go to church. One is even a pastor, I think. Beth is a nurse who is married to Razor. They have twin boys who are adorable. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover." Lake gave her a look like she had told her so. Her grandmother's face slowly turned pale.
"Razor," she turned to her old husband. "We need to move. The bikers have only multiplied since they first came here. I didn't run from the Mafia to be around a gang of dangerous bikers who call themselves Razor and God knows what else."
Lake rolled her eyes, going to the one and only bedroom in the tiny trailer. She had been sleeping on the fold-out couch, but right then, she was going to their room and hiding out while they planned their escape plan. Shutting the door behind her, her mouth was immediately covered, and she was dragged against the wall. Facing her captor, her eyes started to gloss over.
"Shh,"
he said before he removed his hand.
"Vincent, how did you..."
Vincent's body pressed against hers while he covered her mouth with his, kissing her hard and rough as if he was starved. Lake pushed at his chest and turned her head before it was too late.
"You should go,"
she whispered. He grabbed her chin, forcing her to face him.
"The only reason I didn't tell you about paying your debt was because I didn't want you freaked out by David. So don't tell me to fucking go when you ran away from me without a fucking word, Lake. And now you're hanging out with bikers? You better not be fucking seeing one of them."
"So you can fuck around all you want, but I can't? As a matter of fact, me and Cash have a thing, so you can go back home now." She was yelling and whispering at the same time.
"Cash? That guy's name makes him sound like the biggest fucking dick. Are you being serious with me right now, Lake?"
Lake looked at his baby blue eyes, seeing past his fury to his hurt that she would be seeing someone else.
"No,"
she whispered, He had an epic shotgun wedding to Rachel, and they're very happy. Vincent released his breath and rested his forehead on hers.
Please, baby, come back with me. You don't belong here.
I do now, Vincent. Dante wants me dead, and I'll be fine here. There's a technical college not far.
You don't belong in a fucking trailer or going to a technical college.
There's nothing wrong with that, she hit at him.
He grabbed her hand, stopping her from hitting him again.
No, there's not. You're not listening to me, Lake. I'm talking about you. Is this what you want in life? To live in a trailer and go to a technical college?
Lake slowly shook her head, tears coating her eyes again. She once had a different dream, which had washed away the moment she had handed Dante the money to save her father's life.
It doesn't matter anymore, Vincent. I can't go back.
I love you.
He took her face in his hands.
I fucking love you, Lake, and I don't want you to say it back. This week was the worst fucking week of my life without you, not knowing where you were. I'm asking you to come back with me. Come back with me and stay with me just for the rest of the summer. I have kept all the money you've made, and I'll pay for the rest to allow you to go wherever you want to go to college. Just please, baby, stay with me for the summer.
The tears finally fell from her face as she started crying. When he leaned down and started kissing them away tenderly, she kissed him back. Her mouth opened to let him explore, and she pulled him closer to her by grabbing onto his hair. The taste and feel of him hadn't changed. It was only heightened from their loss. Suddenly, the bedroom door flew open, breaking their kiss.
Ah! The Mafia finally found us! They came to kill us!
Her grandmother ran, screaming through the trailer. Vincent looked back at Lake.
What the fuck is she on?
Unfortunately, nothing.
She squinted when her grandparents, Shih Tzu Pippin, came into the room, barking his head off at Vincent.
Ah, Pippin, my baby!
Her grandmother quickly ran back in the room and snatched up her little dog, then ran back out screaming, letting Lake fend for herself.
Are you ready to get the fuck out of here now?
He asked her.
Fuck yes.
Yep, let's go.
Vincent took her hand and led her out of the bedroom. She about had a heart attack when she saw her grandfather with a shotgun in his hand, pointing it at him with her grandmother behind him, holding Pippin to her chest.
Granddad, no.
Put the fucking gun down. I came in while you were gone and unloaded it.
Vincent leisurely went to the door and held it open for Lake.
You don't have to worry about the fucking mafia coming for you crazies. We would blow our own heads off listening to you fucking screaming like that.
The door slammed shut, and Lake thanked God that was the last time she was going to have to hear that awfully creaky door slam. She didn't know how in the world her father had lived in a trailer like that for years before his parents had moved to Kansas City for a job.
1 week of his parents and that trailer was fucking enough for me.
Vincent walked her down to a car hidden off the road. He spun out fast, going to the nearest airport as if he wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. On the way there, Lake pointed at the gang of bikers who passed them along the way.
That's the last riders. And look, that one's Cash.
Motherfucking dick,
Vincent growled as they passed him and his bike.
Vincent, have you ever thought about getting a tattoo?
Her eyes danced between the bikers as they zoomed past.
You ever fucking mention the last riders and that fucking dick Cash again? You won't be able to sit right for a week.
Her eyes grew big.
Sorry, I promise I won't even mention this place ever again.
Looking at the trees pass by, Lake was glad to be leaving. In all honesty, it had felt as if she was falling into a book the moment she had stepped foot into Tree Point, Kentucky. She was ready to get back to her mafia-filled world. Vincent clearly felt more passionate about getting back to Kansas City.
Fucking Kentucky!
Chapter 47. The Secret to All Made Men.
I love you.
Those three little words Vincent had told her hadn't left her since he had spoken them. It was the most unexpected thing. Vincent Vitale was not a man born to love. He had told her not to say it back, and she hadn't because her body, mind, and heart were torn on how to feel about him.
She watched Vincent slide the card through the slot. If you have to go straight to work, why can't I go home?
The deal was you stay with me.
He barely opened the door for her to enter, making her squeeze by him.
And I want you here when I get off work.
Lake's body heated, understanding what he meant. Okay, maybe my body isn't that torn. What am I supposed to do, helplessly wait for you? You don't even have a TV, and that's really freaking weird.
I just haven't gotten around to that part yet, and I have a computer that's perfectly fine to watch stuff on. It doesn't matter, I have a surprise for you anyway.
He headed up the stairs to get dressed. Surprise. She followed him when he disappeared, going to his open closet door after him. You can't tell me you have a surprise, then walk away. Her eyes drifted to the end of the closet, which had her black dress, a couple of other dresses beside it. Whose are those? Kim's? Her eyes started to water. Vincent finished pulling his shirt off.
What are you talking about?
Those dresses. You fucked Kim again, didn't you? I'm not experienced enough for you, am I? She wiped at the tear that slid down her cheek.
Lake, those are new dresses I bought for you while you were gone. The tags are still on them.
He came over and wiped her tears away with his thumbs.
I never fucked Kim. When you came in that bathroom that day and I found out everything, I swear to you, I haven't wanted to fuck anyone besides you, baby. I love the fact that the only experience you have is with me. Baby, you are more than enough for me. When I told you I love you, I meant it.
He lightly kissed her forehead.
Now why would you say that? Kim told you that, didn't she?
She moved her eyes down to his chest, unwilling to tell him and unable to lie.
That's why you left, wasn't it?
He tugged at her hair.
Partly.
Lake still couldn't tell him, but she didn't have to. It was written all over her face. Her head slightly leaned back when he came down to kiss her, giving him a better position to claim her. She placed her hands on his bare chest, causing her to melt into him. They had spent too long apart, and her body was craving his.
You don't have to work, do you?
Vincent placed another kiss on her lips.
I do, baby, but I promise I will be back.
She hated the loss she felt when he went back to getting dressed, but she didn't mind watching him strip down either.
Damn, he's perfect.
When he started putting on a nice suit, it reminded her where he was going.
Why do you have to work in the casino? Aren't there a million other jobs you could do?
She didn't think the mafia lacked job positions, and thinking about Vincent working with half-naked women when she wasn't down there anymore made her a little jealous, which she already hated. Vincent took her hand after he straightened his tie.
There is nothing for you to be worried about.
She started following him through the house.
You made it your mission to stop me from working there.
So I shouldn't feel guilty about it.
That's fucking different.
No, that's not. She jerked her hand from him. He grabbed her hand back, holding it tighter to where she couldn't jerk it out again.
Yes, it is. You were wearing lingerie around a bunch of old men.
Yeah, and you're a guy surrounded by a bunch of girls in lingerie.
The difference is no one will be thinking about fucking me. And trust me, baby, I'll be too distracted by thinking about how I plan to fuck you tonight.
He opened his front door. Lake's cheeks started burning from his words. She was shocked when he took her into the hall, shutting the door behind him, and going to the next door down at the end.
What are we doing?
He knocked on the door.
Your surprise, remember?
Nero opened the door a second later with Elle standing behind him.
You and Elle can hang out while Nero and I go to work.
Lake raised her eyebrow at him. It's also to make sure I don't run away again, isn't it?
Of course not.
Vincent leaned down and gave her a kiss, swiping his tongue over her bottom lip and making Lake weak in the knees.
Elle, call me if she even thinks about fucking leaving, he said, leaning up.
Elle broke hers and Nero's own kiss, blushing.
I swear.
Hey, Lake pushed at his chest. Vincent laughed before he stole another kiss from her, then pushed her into Nero's apartment.
Bye.
Lake crossed her arms and scrunched her nose at him before Nero shut the door. She was still upset he was going to work in the casino and that he thought she needed a babysitter. How do you do it? Vincent drives me crazy, she said, turning to Elle. The two looked so happy together. Elle giggled. You haven't figured out the secret, have you? Lake shook her head, wondering what the secret to all made men was. Elle's cheeks grew pink again. You have to let him dominate you. Excuse me? Excuse me? They are, very aggressive, and you have to accept him. Elle's tone changed. All of him? You do know Vincent's a psycho, right? He has a very, very bad side, which frankly scares the shit out of me. Elle smiled at her. You'll learn to love it. Her eyes widened, wondering how in the world a girl as sweet as Elle was saying these things. Just when you think you know a person. It would be a cold day, never, before she was going to let the dark, psychotic side of Vincent dominate her. She shivered merely thinking about it. Chapter 48. In Case of an Emergency. Lake couldn't believe Nero and Elle lived right beside Vincent. She didn't know why that shocked her, but she found it kind of cute that childhood best friends lived beside each other. That also explains where Nero always disappears to. Looking at his beautiful place, she saw it resembled Vincent's in a way. They both had a modern flair, but Vincent's was much darker. Nero's place was black and white, not too dark and not too light. She could tell he had designed it to accommodate not only him, but Elle. A lot of the things that had been put in there were for her. It made Lake a little envious. Their love seemed so perfect. Elle was a great person to be around, and they got along great, finding themselves to be fast friends. Lake related to Elle in ways she honestly didn't expect. She didn't come from a rich family, having to go to Legacy Prep High on a scholarship, and from what she could gather, Dante didn't care for her much either. There was something else Lake saw in her, which reminded her of herself, but she couldn't quite place her finger on it. It was hard for me, too, when I first started dating Nero, dealing with all the girls he had been with. I had to see them every day at school, Elle told her. Ouch. Lake wondered how in the hell their story had even started. She still didn't like the thought of Vincent working in the casino. It actually pissed her off the more she thought about it. I just don't think I can get over the fact that he's freaking working around half-naked women. Does that make me a bad person? How do you deal with it so well? Elle blinked, staring at her stupidly. What did you just say? Oh, shit. Lake's eyes grew big. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? No. He's working around half-naked women? Elle looked hurt. I'm sorry, I just assumed you knew when you said Nero had told you I worked for Dante. I was a cocktail waitress in his underground casino. She didn't particularly want to tell her the next part. Down there, girls have to dress in lingerie. All he told me was you worked for Dante, and he had to work every day for the next month to keep Vincent from killing people, making it seem like the hardest job on the planet. He didn't mention anything about being surrounded by girls or lingerie or being half naked. Lake got even madder seeing Elle's pain. Nero obviously kept that a secret from her for a reason, the same way Vincent was eager to get back to work when she had wanted him to stay and play. Fuck them. They're assholes. So he's just standing down there watching girls in thongs? Elle was still trying to comprehend what her boyfriend was calling work. That's so unfair. He made me quit the diner because he didn't like it when I poured guys coffee. She didn't want to tell her what they were doing in their thongs. Vincent got pissed when he found out I was working down there, but he doesn't give a shit that I don't like him working there. I have a reason to be upset. One's practically obsessed with him and refuses to cover her tits. Elle gasped. He's dead. Lake looked at Elle, wanting to even the playing field. You want to go have some fun?
Bitch, say what?
Sadie picked up her long curls off her neck and quickly put them in a bun. Vincent had thought it was fair to warn Sadie that Kim was done, but he hadn't expected Sadie to go after her.
He followed behind her as she ran off to one of the rooms in the back.
Oh shit, bitch about to get pimp slapped,
Amo said enthusiastically as he followed behind Vincent.
I ain't fucking missing this.
Nero was right behind him.
I wanted to.
He watched Sadie practically kick the door in.
Never mind, this is better.
Sadie grabbed the back of Kim's fake blonde hair, yanking her away from her knees as she was giving a very round, older man a blowjob. She pulled her away so hard and quick, the man screamed, grabbing his junk, then running out of there. Kim raised her arms above her head, trying to grab onto the hands that were pulling her